Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Please be seated. On this day, this wonderful feast day of St. Francis, I'm sure there are a lot of things that you already know about Francis. What century was he born in? Yes, the 12th century. Therefore, what century did he die in? The 13th century, yes. And what city was he born in? Hello? Yes. He was born in Assisi to a very wealthy family. His dad sold silk and cloth and velvet. And at an early age, he began to help his dad. In the marketplace, he too would sell. And one day he noticed a beggar. And after that day ended, he went and found the beggar, took the money he had in his pocket, and gave it to him. So at an early age, something began happening on the heart of Francis. There was no instant Francis of Assisi. The conversion took time, as it does with all of us. There is no instant conversion. At the age of 20, he and some friends who had been partying with, yes, he was a party animal, he had the means to party hardy. So he and his friends joined the military. And he's captured. He's a prisoner of war for 1 year. He comes home to Assisi, sick and broken. And he begins to sense a change. Eventually, he goes back into the military. But during these years, he was also someone who traveled. And so here's Francis. And he goes into a town, and he goes into a chapel, a very broken down chapel. And in that chapel is a cross. And this little chapel is in the village of San Damiano. And from the cross in that chapel, he hears the voice of Jesus. And what he hears Jesus saying is, "Rebuild my church. Rebuild my church." And he takes it literally because this chapel is in ruins. Goes back to Assisi, sells some of his dad's silk, gets the money, goes to the priest who works there. The priest said, "I don't want it. That was never your silk to sell." Francis goes back to Assisi, turns in the money. This is not the first time Francis has done something that upset his dad, which is the way of all kids and teenagers. They do things that upset their parents. Well, apparently, this was one of those moments that he was not going to forget. In fact, that was the tipping point. And so he, in the marketplace, disowns Francis. Francis, in the marketplace, says, "I don't want your wealth. In fact, you're not going to be my father anymore. I have one father." And it is said that in that moment when Francis let go of any right of his inheritance, he also took off all his clothes. This was done in front of the bishop of Assisi, and it is told that the bishop covered Francis. Francis leaves Assisi. He goes into the caves around Assisi. For months, he prays. And part of his prayer was, "Who are you, God? And who am I? Who are you, God? And who am I? He prays that in the cave, outside of the cave. I can imagine Francis looking up at trees like our eucalyptus trees. Who are you and who am I? Francis begins to change dramatically. And his change includes an identity. Here is this poor man who decides, I want to serve the poor. So Francis, who had nothing, begins to serve those who have nothing. And he served those who had leprosy. In fact, he would kiss the lepers. Because Francis identified, as he came to know that God is in everyone and every animal and all creation, he identified with God, with Jesus in the leper. Francis identified with Jesus. This type of freedom that Francis had when he gave up everything was a part of his spirituality the rest of his life. That kind of inner freedom fostered an inner joy, a joy that was so attractive, other young men wanted to follow him. He had a certain joy and love that made a difference. We all can make a difference. Francis, who was never ordained a priest, began preaching the gospel at all times and used words when necessary. Our joy and our love, our attitude, our way of being speaks volumes to people. So Francis, who had abandoned himself to God, recognized God everywhere. One of the ways that the radical energy of love affected a situation was in the city of Gubbio in Italy. In this little city of Gubbio, on the outskirts were farms and ranches, and a wolf was attacking these farms, eating a cow or a sheep here and there. A farmer would go out, and it said that even a farmer was attacked and killed. They called in soldiers. You got to protect us from this huge wolf. One of the soldiers eventually was attacked. Well, Francis, in his journeys, happened into Gubbio. Hears of the situation, and he says, I want to go meet this wolf. Francis leaves the city. Now, the energy of love is so real that dogs and animals know when you're pet friendly and when you're not, don't they? You can go up to a dog, and if you really like animals, if you really like dogs, they'll respond. They will nuzzle you, you give them their hand, your hand is not filled with fear, and they respond. And if you don't like animals, you don't go near pets, and they stay away from you also. Not going there. Francis had an energy of love that was so palpable that he was able to go up to this wolf, and the first thing he did was he made the sign of the cross. Then he and the wolf had a moment. I don't think the wolf talked back, but the wolf and he had this moment. And the wolf agreed to go with Francis back into the village because Francis discerned in his conversation with the wolf that the reason the wolf was eating sheep and cattle and whatever was because he was hungry. So he and the wolf come into town. The town and the wolf have an agreement. The town decides, we will feed you if you don't eat us or our cattle or sheep. And the wolf said, fine, I will not do anything destructive. The wolf stayed there. After the wolf died, the town put up a statue because it was such a pivotal moment of the town witnessing that the love and joy and generous spirit of Francis could change even an animal. Our statue of St. Francis in the St. Francis Garden is of Francis next to a wolf. So Francis abandoned himself to God's power working through him. And that happened to me the other night. I had changed for bed. My contacts were out. I was reading a book, and my cell phone rings. I now have a pastoral emergency at the hospital. I get out of bed, I change my clothes, I put my collar on, I start driving to the hospital, and of course, it had been a full day and I was tired. But I found myself saying to God as I drove, I am yours, use me. And I felt the shift of energy, and I kept praying, I am yours, use me. In the hospital room, in the emergency room, as all of us can do in any moment, I simply showed up. All of us can show up or answer the phone or say hi to someone in the store or not ignore someone. Because I said, I am yours, use me, I felt a freedom I hadn't felt in a long time. This inner freedom that Francis had. And so I just stepped into the room and let the events and my speech and their presence flow. That's what happens when we abandon ourselves to God. When we really begin to say, I trust you, I am yours, use me. I am yours. And then we look outside and we realize it's all ours. It is ours. No wonder Francis said, brothers and sisters, to everyone and everything and every animal. He had entered this place of inner freedom. And that is what I invite each of you to do. Remembering there is no instant conversion, that you can begin by simply saying, I am yours. I trust you. Then you can let go and let God. So here we are, this family of St. Francis. What do you think our parish, our church is known for? What do you want our parish or church to be known for? What do you want to be known for? What do you think Francis was known for? And today I focused on his love and his joy. What is God asking you to focus on? May you simply say, I am yours. Use me. Amen.